So you that between what we're talking about, Aina and everything else, so it comes, Mishnah Berurah brings down that Suda of Purim, of Hanukkah, should be a Suda of Mitzvah. And you should talk Divrei Torah at the Suda and sing. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, in the Bir Halacha, that instead of having Suda's mitzvah by Hanukkah, they play cards or they play dreidel. And when you play dreidel, you know, you could be putting down some money and switching the money. And the shaila is that leads to the shaila of gambling and playing cards. That's what he's saying, playing poker and things like this. Is there an isser of gambling? Is it geneva? Is it gzela? Is it mutter? Is it aser? So
how is dreidel like gambling?
Because what happens is I'm putting down however much money, and the other three people are, and if I get this, if it lands on this, then I get all the money. Right? If it lands on that, I have to give you money. So, or I put in the middle, or whatever. So, each person is putting down money on the smach that they think, or they hope, they're going to get X, and if not, they have to give away their money. Now, let's say, in the pot now, you have a lot of money in the pot, and then you spin the thing, and you land on the letter that gets you the whole pot. So now, does everyone else really want to give away all that money? What's the fundamental principle? So in poker, right? So you put down a hand and you lose, so you have to give away your money. So what's the shaila of that?
So you're saying
isn't
every mechira where the mechira really doesn't want to sell, but Be'etzim he's forced to, so he sells anyhow?
No. I'm saying
your house is
bigger. There's a doctor's there. He needs the money.
No. So let's just get to the shaila. You're one step ahead. And then, you know, so we threw in for the fun of it. So the police can talk about all these auctions or a raffle. So you're putting in money to get something. Lamaisa, if you lose, you have to give away your money. So, you know, is that a problem? Is that a form of gambling? What?
What's the chance that we're coming out as
Asr? Maybe just after tonight.
Right. Maskana tomorrow, she'll come back in. Just setting up the sugya. So you're saying don't give a share that you know what the answer is going to be before you start. So that's the shaila. Okay? So what is the shaila? Lamaisa, like you said, I put down the money and the guy took the money and he wants the money. So what's the shaila? What's the reason to assume that it should be a problem? It's a game. We put down the money. I lost my hand. You won it. Why would it be a problem? Well, what's the shaila? So it's a big sugya. We're not going to touch on a lot of it, but I just want to get to the Rosh HaPrakim. The sugya is the sugya of Asmach Takanya, and let's get to what that means. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chavdal Adam Adbeiz, Elu and Apsulin. Hamasachik Bekuvya. So Apostle Eidus is someone you can't trust to testify. Why can't you trust him to testify? So in most cases, the reason you can't trust him to testify is because they're not considered honest people. B'derech klal. They're not considered honest people. It could be they're willing to steal. The problem of a ganev is that he's willing to do an avera to get some money. So therefore, we're afraid that perhaps this aide would be willing to testify falsely to get bribed by the other party to testify falsely. So therefore, they're not neman in eidus. So who's pasul? Hamasachik bekuvya. Masachik bekuvya basically means someone that has some sort of kuvya, a dice, essentially. And based on, you know, pure, they throw down the dice and they play games on money and they take people's money. It's essentially gambling. So Masachik bekuvya, the Gemara says, is pasul eidus. It's pasul eidus. But it's only pasul eidus midirabanan. Now let's see what's wrong with this misachik b'kuvya. Zok the Gemara. Misachik b'kuvya, why? Well, my covid, what's wrong? So you're having fun. Like you just said, you're playing dreidel. What's the big deal? So Zok the Gemara, Amar Rami bar Chama, Mishum Dehavi asmachta, v'asmachta loikanya. It's asmachta, v'asmachta loikanya. So What does a smachta mean? So let's see Rashi. Shehainu, davar she'enoi noisin lo midaitoi, ela soimech al davar she'enoi, desavar shu yachol lenatzeach, upa'amim she'menatzchin oisoi. Zok Rashi. A smachta means I put down the money with a smach. I was relying on something. I relied, when I put down the money, I relied on the fact, on the possibility that I was going to win. That's really why I put the money in, because I assumed I was going to win. But on the tzad that I wasn't going to win, I was never really willing to put down the money. And therefore, when you take my money based on the fact that I lost, I never really, with my full das, I never really had das to give away my money on the tzad that I lost. In the back of my mind, I really thought I was going to win. In the back of my mind, I really assumed I was going to win. So since I assumed I was going to win, so memela, there was no real tzad that I gave away the money. So now when you take away my money, when you take away the money, why did you take the money? You took the money because you won. I lost, but I never really wanted to give you the money on that tzad, and therefore it could be considered gezela. It's stealing. Because the person didn't want to give away the money on the tzad that he lost. He didn't have full das on that. He regrets it. He doesn't feel good about it. He doesn't really want to give you the money. He doesn't really want to give it to you. So memela, he didn't really have das on this whole arrangement. He didn't really have das on that deal. So that's what the Gemara says in Rami Bar Chama. Now Rav Sheshes,
but if he wins, is that he expects the other guy to pay.
That's
so
correct.
So he understands there's an inherent risk of losing, but he really wants to win.
Okay, so you're saying a svar, maybe Rabbi Natam says that svar in the next shita. Rav Sheshes Omar, Rav Sheshes says, Kol ki hai gavna, this type of example, lav asmachta hi. It's not called an asmachta. What is an asmachta? Ella lefi she'ein asukim bi yeshuva shel olam. No, so why is he pasul edus? He's pasul edus because he's not oisik bi yeshuva shel olam. That means that he thinks that money is, there's no such thing as hard-earned money. He doesn't work for his money. He basically, and the Gemara says, "My binayu ik binayu the gamar umnas achriti." We're talking about somebody that's gamar umnas achriti, meaning to say that this person, according to Rav Sheshes, mesach bekuvi is only possible when he has no other, when there's no other, what? Right, but that's really what Rabbi Yehuda says like that. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Emesai. We're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, but he doesn't have another umnus. In other words, he doesn't really understand the concept of hard-earned money. He basically just thinks that, look, money, easy come, easy go, and I have parnasa, even though I don't work hard. I just play these games and I know how to win. So basically, I'm not so afraid to testify against someone. What's the big deal? They'll lose money. All right, big deal. They can get it back tomorrow. Just come with me. I'll show you. I'll teach you some tricks. You'll get back your money tomorrow.
Stocks.
Like what? Nisht geferlach. You know. So therefore, since it's like easy come, easy go, he's not considered oisik b'yeshuva shel olam, and he's pasul edus. That's the other pshat. So there's a machlekes here, and we paskin like that pshat. So why did the first opinion think that gambling masachim kuvi was a smachta? And the other shita didn't, said it wasn't. So Rashi's shita is like this. Rashi's shita is that asmachta is when there's three levels, basically. And that's going to come out from Rashi. Rashi says a little bit over here, but then Tosis fleshes it out more. And essentially, Rashi comes out with three levels. And the three arrangements are like this. There's one type of an arrangement where you told somebody. One type of asmachta means is that when you said it, you didn't really mean it. So why'd you say it? You said it because you were trying to make the other guy rely on you or for some other reason. But because you assumed it was never going to happen. So the case of asmachta is, one case, when you're gazim, when you exaggerate. So for example, you say, I'm going to do this deal with you. If I don't do this deal, okay, the deal is, it's a $100,000 deal, and if I don't do the deal, then you can give me a knas of double or triple. So it's not a reasonable consequence for not doing the deal. the reasonable consequence is, okay, you back out. So if a person make, so the case of the Gemara is, you took a field, and you say, if I don't work the field, then I'll pay you triple what the field could have made that year. So let's say the field could make $1,000. If I don't work the field, I'll pay you $10,000. So why did you say that? Because you assumed that you were going to work the field and do it. You just wanted the guy, you just wanted him to give you the job. So that's why. But you didn't really have in mind that it was that you weren't going to do it. You didn't really have in mind to give him that much money. And therefore it's considered a smachta lekanya. Such a deal is not binding. Okay? That's one case of a deal that's not binding. And you don't have to pay the money. Why? Because it's gazim. There's another case where it's a smachta lekanya where it's not completely, right? But let's say you constant yourself in a proportionate manner, then it is kanya, because that makes sense. Now, that's when it's completely up to you. But then there's two other cases when you don't have full control over the destiny of the situation. You don't have full control. So, for example, one case is that I make a deal with you, I'm going to go buy something for you in the fair. Okay? There may not be that item in the fair. And I made myself a knas. So the Gemara says that's a smachta. I assumed that I could do it. I didn't realize that I can't. I assumed I could. I come back. Now I have an excuse. What should I do? The item wasn't there. So it's a smachta. But if something is completely not biyadcha, what does that mean? It means it's pure luck. So why in the world did you put down the money on the pure luck? What did you think? You have no control over the destiny of the situation here. So why did you put it down? It can't be that you put it down because you assumed you were going to win. Because why would you assume you're going to win? Must be that you're willing to take the risk of losing. So b'chiya gavna, it's not considered a smachta. Okay? That's the Rashi Shita.
What about something like betting where it's not biyadcha, but you had their statistics and odds? I'm assuming my team's going to win because they're a good team. So I'm not betting on a losing team. I'm only betting on a winning team.
Right. So I would think that's the middle level, which is called a smachta. In other words, what?
I have no control of the outcome. I have zero control.
Yeah, but why'd you do it?
I have control over which team you're putting your money down on. I'm only putting them down in the
eight. No, but it's an extra gated guess. It's not pure luck.
Yeah, but it's built in.
It's the middle darga. It's the middle darga.
Give you the same amount of money.
No, I think
every gambling degenerate is going to tell you it's an educated guess.
No. When you put your money in a slot machine, there's no. It's pure luck. If you put your money things that are out of your control.
You're betting on sporting.
Even
around. Convinced that they know the.
Well, it's the same thing as buying stocks.
You put your money
in
a slot machine.
Right.
So
I would say.
They convince themselves they know what they're talking about.
My son asked the PISIC because he wanted to do sports betting. I told him it's just like buying stocks. If you're doing sports betting because you know the team really well, it's a chachma. So it's like buying stocks. Did you research?
I don't think that's the.
Anyway.
I don't think it's the same. But
I have to agree with you.
But I would in other words,
saying that buying stocks is also like betting.
Right. Right. So now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, this is how it brings it down, which is very interesting. So in the Shulchan Aruch, the next page, he says like this: V'yesh Oimrim. There's Rashi Shita. The Gimel Chalukin B'dinei Asmachta. There's three levels to the problem of Asmachta. Asmachta again means that I'm going in. Putting my money on a smach of something, on relying on something, but I didn't really assume that it was gonna go wrong. So he goes like this: the chol masha ein biyadai v'tolui biyad acherim. It's not completely up to me. I need someone else's cooperation, or it's up to someone else. Keep going. Shomerle kenei liyain mima complaining. Go buy me something. V'imloy tikne t'chayiv li kach v'kach. You're going to the show. I want you to buy me 35 of those cameras on sale. And if you don't get me the cameras, I want you to pay me $1,000 knas. So the guy said, yeah, sure. Why is he doing that? Because he wants to get the job. And now he can't find the cameras. So he doesn't have to pay the knas. Because it was an asmachta. He was relying on the fact he knew, right? This ain't a tolly boy. The demo layer to lum choloi have a asmachta. He, in the back of his mind, he it's not completely up to him. So therefore, he relied on the fact that he could do it, but he also knew that he figured that they'll be able to, that they'll be there, but he knows it's not up to him. So he relied on the fact that it will be up to him, but it's not, and therefore it's an asmachta.
He doesn't have to pay for any reason. Like, let's say he just didn't go to the show. He still doesn't have to pay because he never agreed to it properly, or no, this was your fault. And the cameras were there, you could have gotten
it. He's talking about a case that you got there and they weren't there, Lamaisim Mistama. But I think...
If it's not a binding deal...
Maybe it's not binding at all. Probably it's not binding at all. Because it's not something that he that's what it's talking about, but I think his stomach's not binding at all. So he says he was never going to die to it really for the deal, because he knows he can't really control it. So he's doing it to convince him that, look, I'll do my best effort. But if it's completely yes in his control and he's not exaggerating, then it's not an asmachta. If I don't go. And you lose out something reasonable, so I'll pay you for that. So a knas that makes sense. You know, if you don't close the deal and now you lose out on another buyer, so whatever you lost because of my procrastination, that I'm agreeing to pay you, that's chal, because that's a reasonable, it's in my control. I could have decided to do the deal. I'm not doing it, and I'm contenting myself in a reasonable amount. That's not a smachta. Aval igazim, but if it's an exaggeration, again, why'd you do such an exaggerated amount? Only because you assumed you were going to close the deal. You never had really were gomer daitai to give the money if you weren't going to close it. Okay, etc. Now go down to the second to last line. Aval ein biyodei legamri. This is in Choshen Mishpat Simin Reish Zayin, and it's the Ramah is over there. What we're reading is the Ramah in Sif Tes Vav, I believe. I only copied half the Ramah, and I lost track of it. It's Tavzvav or Tazayin. But anyway, it's the Ramah over there. Then he says, Aval, im ein biyadoi legamri, v'loi biyad acherim. But if it's not beyond anybody, kigoy na mesachik bekuvya. You just throw the dice out, and it's going to land where it lands. V'kayotze boy, she'eino yoideya, he has no idea im inatzeach oiloi. He has no idea if he's going to win or not. V'afilu hochi hisna, vaday gomar umachni misafik. So it's interesting. If it's completely not biyadcha, then you're obviously willing to go into the safik. If it's completely biyadcha, you're also willing to go in. So the only case of asmachta is when it's in the middle. Now, they do add later your svar, Menashe, which is that if you look at the last line of the Ramah over here, on the second page, it says Yesh Oimrim Hadam Esachel Bekuvya LaHavi Asmachta Hu Mitam DeMa'achas Hashnei Mas Nizekin Eged Zev V'Chol Echad Yuchal LaHafsid Agav DeBoy LeMikni Gomer Omakni. So another svar is in Esachel Bekuvya is not just because you don't have control; it's because you want the other guy to put down the money. So since you want the other guy to put down the money, so Memela, that's why you want to put down the money. But that's the Yesh Oimrim. Let's go with the first pshat for now.
Yeah, Yishayim is only going in a case
for
its skill, or it's only for its luck.
He's not being mechalak yodei, not biyodei. So now there's one other point that's very important: is the rest of the Ramah. But med Ramah kishasoich kim b'moyis muchanim. The money has to be there. The money has to be on the table. Avim soich kim b'amana. But if you make a deal and then you go and invoice the guy and say, "Hey, now you owe me the money," he doesn't have to actually pay. It means it's not geneva if you take the money, but it's also he's not mechuyev to pay it either. Because it's like he's not really creating a chayv with this. Ein moitzi in mashe hefsid. Okay, so let's just wrap this up a little bit because it's a lot of svaras. It's a lot of svaras here. The bottom line concept of asmachta is that you can't take money from somebody that didn't really have in mind to give it to you. That's the point. Why did he make the deal? He made the deal because either he wanted to convince you to give you the job, but it's not a reasonable knas that he made. Or he gave it to, or you did it because you didn't have a havamina that it wasn't going to happen because it's in your control, basically, or it's partially in your control. So you assumed that it was partially in your control, and therefore, you know, you did it, but you didn't really assume that it wasn't going to happen. And therefore, having that money could be considered gezeila. Now, we paskin that even the other cases, it's still the Rambam still calls it Gzeila Derabanan. So none of this stuff is so pashut. But Al Kaponim, if you go through the cases of the gambling, so the Rambam is already touching some of the points. So if you do something like dreidel taka, like we said, so it's complete luck. There's no way you could have assumed that you're going to do one over the other. It's not like you have,
the money's on the table.
And the money's on the table. Then it will come out it's mutter. It will come out that it's mutter, it's not gzela. That's number one.
I know this sounds silly, but does it matter if you're playing for peanuts or chocolate chips or
anything? Well, lechora, if it's shared
chips,
stuff.
Everybody gets the same amount of that anyway.
Right.
It's fine.
Okay, if you're playing with something that really doesn't belong to anybody, it belongs to the parents or it belongs to someone else, so it's not anyone's money to begin with. So everyone gets a dollar to start, But theoretically, it wouldn't be a smachta. But if you're playing poker or something like that, where I think I'm so good, right, that my only das to put down this money is because I'm 100% convinced I'm going to win. When I lose, I'm like, I'm not giving that money. That wasn't really what I had in mind over here. That wasn't the conclusion that I wanted. So when you put down the money, you put it down al das that you were going to win. You didn't put down on the suffix.
Is there a distinction of putting the money down as opposed to coming out of pocket?
Well, yeah. If it's out of pocket, it could be you're not mechuyev to give it. In any case.
But poker, you have played chips. You've already bought.
Yeah, stomach. Once you pay the chips is money on the table because the guy can. Right?
Yeah, you push it in the bin.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I've given it away.
Right, right. So once you put in the chips and they're in the middle, then.
Well, you sound a little too familiar.
So then the problem is that every person's only putting it there because they think they're going to win.
Obviously.
Exactly. So therefore, it's called pashtos. According to this reading of the Shulchan Aruch, it's called asmachta, and the money is gzela, because there's no heter to take it in that case. If it's something which is pure luck, it's the opposite. I didn't put it down because I think I'm going to win. I put it down because of the chance to win.
There are people, especially elderly, who have a lot of money, who go for the ambiance, they go for the cigars and the food and the this and the that. They never win. They're just playing for fun. It's okay, so they lost $3,000 today. Okay, that's the cost.
What's your question?
Playing against them, is that gazela? Can you invoice them?
Wait, if you're a Jewish on casino, what are you talking about?
I'm saying, if a person wants to gamble, he's good. He wants to gamble, but he doesn't want to have a sailor shiloh. Okay, so it's mutter because it's on the table. It's
so he's still some old people.
So he goes to the table with the old rich people and he plays against them.
I don't think there's a difference. Just a guy puts up a sign on his door and say, you're allowed to steal from me. It's still not mutter.
No, I don't know that every single person in a casino is 1,000% positive that they're going to win, otherwise they would never be playing. I enjoy the game. Do I think I'm going to win? Not necessarily.
But Lemaisa, then you wouldn't put down as much money.
That's not true. Say that's the point.
The amount that you put in is not for the fun. The amount is probably because they want to win.
Besides, casinos hold on the shile because you're not buying from people.
It depends.
In poker, you're playing against the person.
Right. Yeah. If we're playing against the house, it's a whole different thing. So most of these gzelas because it could be it's a guy.
Is horse racing and highlight any different than?
So that's what these.
Because you can do some research. Who you think?
So I don't know. That's what he was saying. I think it's different because yes, of course it's different because when you're doing a stock, yeah, you're taking a risk, but you're buying something concrete. You're buying a zchus in something. You even at a shayla, if you have a zchus in the company to the point that if they sell on chametz on Pesach, maybe you have a chelk in the chametz. You bought something. Now, every time you buy something, it could go up, it could go down. I mean, it could break, it could last, it could not. You bought something. Buying something is not a smachta. You're not buying a risk. You're buying a real portion. Right. You're buying into the company to some of the what? But you're buying something. When you're betting on something, you're putting the money in. You're putting the money in Shema, in somewhere, and you're only you don't have anything at all. Actually, some people want to say, or Moshe Steinberg wants to say, that's why buying a lottery ticket could be zmutter, because a lottery ticket, you bought the ticket. and you could sell the ticket. You actually bought something. So it's much less of an asmachta shaila, because you don't just put money on the tzad. You're not putting money on the tzad. You're buying the ticket, which could win.
You get a ticket and still make money off of it by selling it.
Right.
Right. Your money, your chance has. So that's different.
Is horse racing and highlight considered luck? Like a pure luck?
So now when you're talking about horse racing or sports betting, when you think that you have researched it enough to think that you're an expert. So that's exactly what we're talking about. And then when your team loses, you're like, what second? No, exactly. What in the world? You guys weren't supposed to do that. That wasn't supposed to happen, right? So I don't hear the tzad that has any shaykhis to stocks. To me, it's a whole different thing. Stocks, you have to be a certain type of person. Which type of investment do you want to go into? Are you going to buy? Every stock is like that. Are you going to go and you're going to buy a stock in?
If a guy puts money down on multiple horses, then that whole story is out the window. There's no way you could both win. I'm just hoping that one of them will win. So the money I put down. Horse A
is not bothering, I'm going to get it back. The money I put down on horse B is not bothering, I'm going to get it back. So where's the gzeila shuvah? Now, by the way, so Lemaisa, even if it's not a shmachta, the Rambam paskins that it's gzeila derabanan. So now that's mutar for a goy, Rabbi Kivager says, but. Even if it's not mamash asmacht, it's not really so posh. Now, lemaisa, the cases that all the tshuvas talk about is raffle tickets and these types of things. There is one pshat over here which is not like Rashi that we learned, which is from the Yad Rama, which is a very, very nice pshat. He says, let me just see this. The Rama says that the reason why gambling is not an asmachta is because the person that you're taking the money from is willing to is also in it. So according to that, anytime that you're betting against someone else, it could be that it was mutar, but or at least it wouldn't be gzela. But that's not the ikar shita. So Essentially, real gambling seems to be a real shaila, and besides that, it's a bad mitzvah. And I'm not even talking about going anywhere. I'm talking about doing it from your house. If you're talking about going into a casino, knowing that's a whole different Sierra Day shaila over here. I'm talking about chashmish, but now I'm not talking about mutar, aser, anything like that. Now, one other thing, so what about a raffle? Like we said, so buying a ticket is buying a ticket. So there is a halacha just for clarity purposes. Let's say somebody says the shailah that happened was that two guys were sitting here, and then they say, you know what? It looks like the Kol could use some extra money, and these two guys are betting on the World Series. Okay, if my team wins, I'm gonna give $10,000 to the Kol. Or if you lose, what? Yeah. Instead of betting, look, I don't want to do gambling, but
Lemaisa.
What?
He has very low confidence in his team.
So Lemaisa, that's a smachta, right? You made a neder by a smachta. What was the case? The Shaila to Rav Vosner was that the guy was standing by the bima right before his Mishaberach. And the other guy comes over to him and says, basically, whatever you give, I'll match. He goes, oh yeah? He gives him a shabbat, 10 grand. Now the other guy says, hold on. So he made an ed basmachta. He assumed something very specific. He was going to give 180, okay, so I'll match it. So does he have to match it? Right? So a neder basmachta. Lemaisa, in the end, Rav Shmuel Vosner said that he's potter because the guy that gave the $10,000 had made that pledge already before, and he was just like rehashing that old pledge. That was I wasn't matching an old pledge of yours. I was only matching a new pledge that you were going to make now. But The
so now you just brought a massive all the crowdfunding matching campaigns right there.
Some, not all, some. So the Ramah at the end of Reish Zayin, he just says v'im nadar eze davar ba'asmachta letzdaka oyle hektish koine kamoshin is bar asmachta by hektish is works because. For hektish and for tzedakah, when you have das to do it, avada you have das. You're just looking for the excuse. Of course you want to give the money. There's no tzad, you don't want to give the money. So memela, by tzedakah and by hektish, the halacha is that asmachta kanya, and therefore everyone should feel more than comfortable to put in tickets in auctions or whatever you want. As long as it's for tzedakah, it's mutter. Okay,
so the whole issue...